Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. Okay, got a nice crowd in the chat room, and this is the first time we actually have a studio audience. That's right, we're selling, what are we selling? Vape in here in the studio audience. We have one of those guys. Hey, get your vape here. Vape, get your vape here. Here we got vape. I mean, between Andy and Mark and my good friend Patrick, who, by the way, Patrick was my third baseman in Little League. He's now an 18-year-old cocky college kid, and everybody. Nobody wants beer, but they want vape. That's how the world is changing. Okay, so get your ice cold vape here. Okay, so today we're gonna talk. Don't forget, we got a question and answer immediately following the podcast. We'll go right into a question and answer, and don't forget, go up to the homepage as the great podcasts are up there. Chatter has been renewed. It's going up. It's up. We have a new chatter from yesterday, and we got another. You know the chatter column, the greatest column of all fantasy sports, and then of course the podcast. And don't forget the tweets, man. But there's nothing being tweeted. I mean, all the birds are still in their nest, and they're not even tweeting. Nobody's come out of the nest, but it's going to get a little. It's going to get a little interesting as we move along. Okay, we will try to get back. I mean, unbelievable. As that we got more, you know, we got more stuff than we can cover. So, while other podcasts don't even know what they're, you know, it's really something. It's lazy day, but not here, okay? Paul Martin points at different points in the season. Orioles general manager Dan Duquette assured both Machado and Beckham they would be the team starting shortstop. Let me just say this about that, okay? The Baltimore Orioles, look, there's no question that the Orioles are going to, this should be their first year of rebuild. You know, all the teams that are rebuilding. I mean, the Orioles, you know, with Kevin Gausman as their number one. We talked about Dylan Bundy. Who's the Orioles' number three pitcher? Gabriel Yona? Hunter Hardy? Nestor Cortez, the lefty who they got in the Rule 5. Who's their closer? Brad Brock, Michael Gibbons. Come on, man. It's time to rebuild. They're going to lose Machado no matter what happens. You might as well get something for him as much as you can because, look, next year the Yankees, if the Yankees are and we all know that the Yankees are not the landing spot for Machado, if it was up to Peter Angelos, the owner. But it doesn't make sense if the Yankees could get Machado next year as a free agent. They're only going to give up players that they don't really care about. They're not going to give up the Torres, and they're not going to give up the Sheffield and the Chance Adams. They're not giving up those guys. But if the Yankees will package four prospects of substance, including Frazier, Clint Frazier, and because they don't need Clint Frazier, and look, even pay down Jacoby Ellsbury, okay, pay him down, ship him to Baltimore where he wants to go to Baltimore for some reason. I mean, who do they got? I mean, Chris Day. We're going to talk about the Orioles in just a minute, okay? But I really think that it's time for the Baltimore Orioles to wake up and take the position that this is rebuilding year number one. The Red Sox are moving. Red Sox moving right along with style. The Yankees, Tampa. I got to tell you, Toronto's going to, you know, Toronto seems to be in there, but not for long. I think they're going to market Marcus Stroman at some point during the season. They get, you know, look, Tulowitzki and Devon Travis. It's really Justin Smoke. Is he going to repeat? Donaldson, they're going to lose him in the same position as they are with Machado. Boy, this is really, talk about the rivalry. Talk about the two-team race. This is the quintessential, whatever the hell that means, year of the Red Sox and the Yankees. And, look, you heard yesterday's podcast. I'm not even sure that they're. If you have access, listen to Craig Mish's interview with Cashman from yesterday. It was very telling. And listen, he had two guests yesterday on that Mish and Bowden show, and they were both fantastic. So if you could give it a listen, I advise you to do it. I mean, Brian Cashman was tremendous yesterday, indicating that if they could get rid of some salary, they'll make a big move, indicating that he still wants to make another move. I say David Robertson goes. The Cardinals make a lot of sense, right? Cardinals, Colton Wong, Jed Jerko for Robertson. It fills the Yankees' need for second base and for third base. It fills the Cardinal need for closer. Work out the salary difference, and there you go. That's it. So Cashman was one great part of that interview. And you know who? And the other one was just as good. That was me. That's right. I was right in there. Okay? So they had Cashman and Melnick yesterday. Are you kidding me? That's a coup. A coup. Whatever a coup is. All right, so you got the Cashman video. Why don't you get my video? Good morning to B-Don, to DK Loosh, to the Donkey Teeth, to the driver's side, and the Easy Kill. Jedi is here, sleeping. Jeremy Gibbs, Joe from Staten Island, Junior Slice, Kenneth My Hero, the great Kevin Daly, Meckert, Michael Litch in your kitchen table, Paul Martin, and you'll be hearing Paul tomorrow right here at this time, 9 o'clock. You can't, look, you can't put Paul Martin to bed and just forget about him. He's just too good. Rotorius, Teddy Bilski, Timothy My Hooker, Trader Jim, Unholy Toledo, Walter Zelmo, and a cast of thousands. So welcome aboard, everybody, and let's be active, okay? And this year in Tout Wars, by the way, yeah, the general manager followed by the legend. That's right. It's pretty cool. I'm going to tell you one thing. Circle the date, March 17th. That's when the new Tout Wars probably will happen at the Staten Island, the Yankee Stadium. And at the draft this year, we're going to encourage participation by the audience, without a better word, by the attendees. We're going to ask for respectful cheering and respectful booing. And if I'm up, tell me to draft a closer. Yell it out, okay? We're going to make it like the NFL draft. How's that? All right, so let's get right into it. Let's get right into what you came here for, whatever that is. Do you know that in the history of Major League Baseball, I'm going to throw out a trivia question. Put your pens, pencils, and bloody fingers down. It's time to hear some trivia. In the history of baseball, how many teams have lost 98 games in one season? How many teams have lost 98 games in one season? Anybody want to take a guess at that? Andrea says two. You're wrong. Get your sweet petunia in the chat room. All right? I'm not going to go too long with this because, this, you know, everybody's going to guess. But here it is, okay? 12, 4, 3, way, way off. I mean, in the history of I'm not talking about last year. Donkey Teeth says one. Here's the all right, come on, you guys are not thinking. Not including last year when we had the Giants and the Tigers. 71 teams in Major League Baseball have lost, had seasons with 98 or more losses. Now, here's the other question. For a team in Major League Baseball, and I know things are changing, but this is just an interesting little tidbit. For the teams, just shows you how hard it is in baseball to come back the next year. How many of those 71 teams who lost 98 games have come back to be over 500 the next year? 71 teams in the history of baseball have lost 98 or more games. The question is, how many of those teams have come back to win and get over 500 the next year? That's the real question, okay? How many of those teams, okay? Four, we got 12, we got one, we got, all right, anyway, it's all a guess. Over 500, Paul. That's it. Come on, Paul. Pay attention. The answer to the question, my friends, is not blowing in the wind. Kenneth, my hero, gets it. The answer is 10. So, this is pretty cool, man. So, out of 71 teams in the history of Major League Baseball that have lost 98 games, 10 of them have come back to be 500 or more the following year. I mean, 1989, the Orioles. 2004, the Pirates. 86, the Rangers. They had the Giants in 86, the Royals. I mean, you know, there were teams. There were 10, okay? There are 10. And there are 10, okay? So there you go. Now, I'm going to go over the National League today, but before I do, before I go over the National League, I'm going to give you a little preview of what I'm going to talk about with Jim Bowden tomorrow, I think. All right? And here it is. I have found the spot. Where do you think that Yu Darvish is going? Now, let's just get serious now, okay? Because I'm changing my tune. Originally, I thought it was the Minnesota Twins. The Twins, who don't have any obligations past 2019, I think they're going to be players. There's no question about it. I think the Twins will be players. But here's my question. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I'm saying 10 teams improved. Where do you think Yu Darvish is going? I thought it would be Minnesota. Then I realized that, that he's had private meetings with Houston. He's had private meetings with Texas Rangers. And for some reason, he hasn't had a private meeting with Minnesota. And that sounds a little wacko, okay? That sounds a little wacko. Maybe it's because Yu Darvish doesn't want to meet. Maybe that's the reason. But here's the team. Are you ready for this? Tell me, finally, Melnick could make some sense, okay? Won't be Twins because he won't meet with them. That's right. He won't meet with them. The Twins say they haven't had time to schedule it. Bull Dinkie and Poppycock. So the Twins are out. But here's the team. I'll tell you something. And Bowden disagreed with me yesterday. I'm wondering if the Red Sox are going to sign Yu Darvish. I was wondering that yesterday, but he says no way. So here's my reasoning on the team. Now, I'm going to give you my reasoning, and as I'm giving it, tell me the team, okay? Okay. If you take a quick look at the innings pitched on this particular team last year, the top three innings eaters are gone. Top three innings eaters no longer are gone, or they're on the mend, on a serious mend, coming back from a big-time injury. The man entering 2008 with the most innings in this pitching staff has 121 innings, okay? 121 innings. Anybody got the team yet? That's the most, okay? Darvish to the Marlins, not the Mets. Okay, it's a good guess, though, Trader Jim. Good guess. The pitching staff now, scary numbers coming up. 25 innings, 27 innings, 21 innings, 85 innings, 77 innings. Okay? That's the pitching staff right now. 25, 27, 21, 8. What's the team, okay? What's the team that this team needs? That's right. This team needs the services of Yu Darvish, and nobody's talking about it. And there's another reason, and you know what that is. And Andrea is right. It's going to be Welcome to Beach Bum. The Angels of Anaheim or California or Los Angeles. And if I recall correctly, there's another player on that team who actually could be pretty good, and that is Ohtani. So, Darvish and Ohtani, are you kidding me? Doesn't that make any sense? And the Angels, they got, it's unbelievable. Garrett Richards, Andrew Haney, Tyler Skaggs, Matt Schumacher. That's the rotation. And Ohtani is number five. They need somebody who can give them 200 innings. They can go to a six-man rotation, and they can add either Parker Bridwell or Nick Tropiano. All right. Bridwell has many questions. Oh, a lot of questions, all right, but we'll see. So how about that? It's the only time, by the way, the Angels will likely be able to bid on top talent and not have to go against the Yankees, the Red Sox, or the Dodgers. So I'm saying, look, with Mike Trout only guaranteed to put on an Angel uniform for the next 3 years, I say the Angels. You add the Angels now to this rotation. You add Yu Darvish, and it makes a lot of sense. The Angels are going for it. It makes a lot of sense. Does anybody agree with me that the Angels, and yeah, that's right, Darvish and Ohtani and prayed for a tsunami. You beat me. You beat me. You beat me. There you go, White Sox Galaxy. Good going, Beach Bum. Darvish and Ohtani, it makes a lot of sense. Maybe they stick together. Maybe they help each other. Good morning to Craig Roloff and Beach Bum. Good morning to Hernan. Good morning to Kenneth Maher. I said that already. Good morning to Methical is here. Good morning to Scotty Bryden. Good morning to Unholy Toledo. Again, I'll say good morning every half hour to Unholy Toledo. White Sox Al is here. And so, all right. Didn't Ohtani say he didn't want to play with any Japanese stars? I don't know. Is that what he said, Paul? If you say that you know that, okay. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Come on, are you kidding me? They give him the money. They put him with Hugh Darvish, and who knows? Who knows? Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. I don't know. We're all guessing. Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a radio show. We're all talking about the same bull dinky and poppycock, and nobody knows what they're talking about, including me. So I'm just putting it out there because I haven't seen anybody else put it out there. And I'll tell you something. To me, it makes sense. It makes sense. Tout is August 17th in Manhattan. And if you can get there, Tout is March 17th. It's a Saturday. It's going to be, unless something changes, it's going to be in Staten Island. Okay, so, it was tweeted by J.P. Morisi when? I did not, I have the tweets, look, if it was, it is, okay, fine. But, yeah, I know St. Patrick's Day is a bummer, but there's no other day. So, anyway, that's what, this is my thinking. I didn't follow, sometimes I look at, I look at all these guys, and he doesn't know, and I don't know, but let's put it this way. I agree with him, okay? Okay. There you go. If that's what he said, I agree with him. It's all right. Here's the point. Let's get on to what we came here for. Third base for the Atlanta Braves. You got Adonis Garcia on his way to Korea. You got Eduardo Nunez, and you got Todd Frazier being mentioned as a possibility, but I'm going to tell you, Jim Bowden believes that it's a big mistake. Jim Bowden believes that they should pursue Mike Moustakas, and I agree. He'll receive more years, more money, create more permanent log jam if they put Frazier on there. Austin Riley has got to prove himself ready for the major league. He's got 2 years to go. Doesn't make sense to trade for Josh Donaldson, giving an impending free agency. Doesn't make sense. The same goes for Manny Machado. Moustakas is a solid option. And yesterday, Bowden's talking about Frazier could be the guy. Hard to find reasons for the Braves not to sign him. Heyman thought that Frazier would get 4 years and $48 million at the start of the winter. He'll get less than that. Camargo is best suited for a super utility guy. That's not a knock on him, but you can't imagine him starting 140 games. Austin Riley, I saw him in Arizona. He's pretty good. He'll spend all of 2018 in the minors and a good part of 2019 as well. Nunez could be a cheaper option. He doesn't have the power of Frazier. He's more versatile, the whole thing. And there you go. So that's what I'm looking for the Atlanta Braves. I think they'll make a splash. Now, Paul Martin's putting up Morosi's column, and it's going to be nice to do. Paul, okay, there you go. It's speculation, Paul. Yeah, it's all speculation. The whole thing. We don't know anything. It was a story. Morosi has contact. When was the story? I just want to know what the date of that story was and where it was. I'd like to read it because it's fun. Tim McLeod is here. Good morning to Timothy McLeod. That's right. The number one person in the country is Tim McLeod. That's right. He could even run for president next year. No doubt, as long as you don't pick that guy as your vice president, you'll win. Here he goes. What was the date? Japanese star rumor. I'm going to take a look at GM speculation, not his own. All right, whatever it was, so that's pretty good. Good morning there, Timmy. Okay, so now let's hear. All right, I promised I would tell you who is the rookie You know, a rookie is a rookie is a rookie. And last year, all you knuckleheads, you killed me because they said, yeah, that doesn't count anymore, Lenny. You try it again this year, and then you come back to me and kiss my sweet petunia. I'm telling you, this year, the rookie core is not going to be so exciting. But there's one guy that I think is going to be a standout, okay? And pay attention to this. Who do you think? Is there any one rookie who you think is going to be a standout, okay? Any one rookie. Oh, it was the GM who felt that he wouldn't sign. All right, what do they know? Anyone, I'm just saying that to me it makes sense. That's all. And it makes sense because of the lack of innings in that Angel bullpen. Who was the number one rookie? Okay. Now, Trader Jim says Okuna, and fine. That's fine. Okay. Is Weaver still a rookie? Luis Gajara? Okay. Bellinger, think of a past. No question. Okay. Adames, the shortstop. That's a good guess, too. I'm going to give you somebody that you're not, nobody's guessing. Luis Gajara. This kid can throw. He's a lefty man for the Braves, and you're right, Hernan. This kid's going to be pretty good. But I will tell you, Jimenez from the Sox, Otani, I'm going to give you one that you're not mentioning, okay? And I think this guy is going to hit 25 to 30 home runs. And you're not going to get a lot of that this year from the rookie core. Yeah, I don't think you're going to get a lot of that from the rookie core. And here's the guy. The Rockies, focusing on the bullpen this year, many of us wonder who's going to play first base. They're going to bring back Reynolds. Who's going to play first base? Not going to be Desmond, because I got to tell you something. David Dahl is slowly fading, okay? But it seems now, as we speak, Thomas Harding wrote about this as well. See that? I give credit when I read something. I tell you who I talk about. I didn't read the article about Morosi. You got me upset now, Paul. You got me upset. Ryan McMahon will be the first baseman on opening day. You got Ian Desmond in the outfield with Charlie Blackman and Gerardo Parra. Makes a lot of sense. First base has been a tricky spot in the last few years, ever since Todd Helton retired. Last year didn't go according to plan. It worked out pretty well, of course, with Mark Reynolds. Ian Desmond was playing first base. The decision to put McMahon on first is not unprecedented. Last year, the Dodgers did that with Cody Bellinger, and it was a good move. Okay? McMahon's performance in the minor leagues, the Rockies could be hopeful for similar kind of performance. Even if he doesn't have a Bellinger-style season, we'll look forward to a big, strong bat at first base. And you know what happens, okay? Parra should be starting in left field over David Dahl. Maybe in right field. Ian Desmond's going to bat third. And Ian Desmond is my next sleeper pick. Yesterday I gave you Manny Margot. Ian Desmond could be batting third. All right? And playing some left field. So you get Desmond in left. You get Parra in right. It's going to be pretty good. And you got Blackman. Blackman and LeMahieu may be swapping spots in the order. They remain 1 and 2, respectively. We'll see about that. And that's it. I love Desmond batting third. Unbelievable. So, and the Rockies' expectations on David Dahl, his injury play 2017 season really has an effect on his future performance. Some people even skeptical about what he did in 2016. There are some real concerns about David Dahl, okay? So, there you go. So, Desmond's going to bat third as of now, and that's what we got, man. And Ryan McMahon is my sleeper pick. I don't even like to use the word sleeper, all right? He is my rookie that I have embraced. Absolutely embraced Ryan McMahon. Okay? Anybody like that? Dirty Eck is here. And Dirty Eck, if you can call me, we're having a hard time with Dirty Eck as far as getting together. Not his fault. See if you can call me. I'll be sitting here all day, Dirty Eck. I do want to explain something, talk to you about something very important. If you can, call me. Really appreciate it, okay? So, yeah, Dirty Eck is here. And so that's it. Ryan McMahon, etch his name in your kitchen table. I don't see him being drafted too much. Have you, any of you guys seen Ryan McMahon be drafted consistently? I don't know. For the Phillies, J.P. Crawford, very good in the field in his first 23 big league games. He did not commit an error in 188 innings combined. All right, at second base, third base, did not commit an error. He has good range at second base, quick reactions at third, great arm at short. He's got it all. His ability to play an extremely high level reminds me of Jose Iglesias, the shortstop for the Tigers. All right, now Crawford, but here's the problem. Crawford came out in 1917, very same way that, you know, Nick Williams did the same thing. He tried to swing his way into the majors instead of trusting his skill set, all right, and playing a great defense, okay? So he has mentioned that he's changing his ways. He's relying. He's going to have more confidence in his skills. He's going to stop being so aggressive to try to play his way in just by swinging away. So Crawford, to me, he's been labeled a great player, but a lot of that is his defensive ability. Fantasy player, not yet. Could absolutely fall into that. San Francisco, so much talk about McCutcheon. Okay, there are still options in left field, right field. The Giants, if they want to trade all their prospects, they can still go with Domingo Santana. Okay, or Jay Bruce. They could sign J.D. Martinez, all right, with the Giancarlo Stanton money that they found in their pants when they woke up in the morning. The Giants probably still viewing McCutcheon as a center field option, not a left field option. In center field, he's less desirable. He's a better hitter than Span, but he's not an upgrade defensively. So I don't think the Giants want a center fielder who makes them allow fewer runs than the other team. So I don't think McCutcheon defensively is what the Giants want. The Pirates view McCutcheon as something more than a 2.5 war player, making $14.5 million. So I don't know. I just don't think that the Giants and McCutcheon is a good matchup. Now, I've been talking about Robertson to the Cardinals for Colton Wong. Now, Gleyber Torres, when he comes up, he could play third base. The Yankees right now, I don't think Torres at second base is gonna do it. I mean, he's got to play shortstop. And Brian Ambrose and I talked about this yesterday. Brian, the fanatic, terrific baseball mind. You know, he's got a shortstop is where Gleyber Torres belongs. He can't play third, but we'll see. But Colton Wong's numbers in 2017. Weren't as flashy as they were the year before. His home run power was at its lowest mark since, 2013? In 2014, he only homered less than 3% of his plate appearances. In 2015, he hit less than 2%. He hit a career low by hitting a home run fewer than 1% of his plate appearances, and he stole 20 bases as a rookie, and I think last year he had 8, but he had a high walk rate last year. High walk rate. That's good. I like that. I don't know what it was, but he walked a lot. His batting average with balls in play increased by 63 points. In 2016, he had some lows, but I think Colton Wong is going to rebound. The fact that Colton Wong walk rate shows a little, it's all about patience. Wong came up with the same kind of mentality that Crawford, trying to swing his way into the major leagues. I think he took a step back last year, and it shows in his patience at the plate. Take a look. They're talking in Arizona. They're not going to get J.D. Martinez. They can't get rid of Greinke. But I think they're going to trade Corbin and his salary. Corbin's eligible for arbitration. So look out. For Anthony Banda's name in your kitchen table. Anthony Banda. Now, that name goes in your kitchen table. Now, Darvish won't be back for the Dodgers. He's too expensive. The Dodgers trying to get their payroll under the luxury tax. The rotation is fully stocked. They got the Clayton Kershaw, the Rich Hill, the Alex Wood, the Kenta Maeda, Hunshin Ryu will all be back. And then you got the young arms, Walker Buehler, Brock Stewart, Dennis Santana with Kohler and Stripling ticketed for the bullpen. Second year in a row that the Dodgers anticipate putting one of their top pitching prospects in the rotation. Didn't go well last year. Urias really struggled, and then undergoing shoulder surgery sidelined him until the second half of 2018. But this year, it's Walker Buehler. The 23-year-old, he's 23, right-hander, got a taste of the big leagues in September. He made 8 appearances out of the bullpen. He figures to be in the Dodger rotation some point in 2018. All you Walker Buehler guys, be ready, okay? Dodgers are going to handle him carefully. He remember he had Tommy John surgery shortly before being in the first round in 2015. He's yet to throw 100 innings, but Walker Buehler is the kind of guy that you really going to watch out for. Now, yesterday I mentioned that one of my guys was was Manny Margot. Manny Margot has had an RBI. He's playing well, okay? He's 11 for 32 in Escargito, or whatever that place is. 11 for 32. He's got a couple of doubles, three walks, stolen base. And another guy to watch out for. Look, they got right now, you know, the San Diego is not as bad as people think. Hunter Renfroe, Jose Perilla, Alex Dickerson. And here, and don't forget Frenchie Cordero, who in that same team was 7 for 32, but he was voted the Dominican League's Winter Rookie of the Year and MVP. So he's 23 years old. He did strike out 44 times in 30 Major League games last year, but he's one of 7 outfielders on this roster. I just say, just remember who he is, notice him, and that's a big deal. Now, here's another thing. Oh, wait a second. Here come the vapes out of the coming down the steps. Okay, we got, you know, some people call them vipers. I just call them vapes. Are you leaving?
Yeah, I'm heading out.
So, all right, I wish I could take a picture of this knucklehead. My son's dear friend, Patrick, my former third baseman, is going out. It's 10 degrees below zero. It's a foot of snow, and he's wearing what? A T-shirt, and that's it. Are you kidding me? Are you trying to set some kind of record for being the nuttiest kid in town?
Go to Oswego. What do you expect?
Oh, he goes to Oswego. What do you expect? I know you need a D average to get in there. All right. So, okay. Thank you, Patrick. Nice to see you. And he still had to pay somebody off to get in, even with a D average. All right. Thank you very much. Patrick's leaving. Now we can all eat. Okay, good. All right. Now let's talk about Washington for a minute. Only for a minute. Now, Chris Spire was the pitching coach. He was the bench coach. Mike Maddux was the hitting coach. Jock Jones was the first base coach. And the third base coach was Bob Henley. All right. And Davey Lopes as well were all fired. Now, what do you think? Let's see how astute you guys are. Does that have any meaning? Davey Lopes is no longer on the coaching staff of the Washington Nationals. And if you don't think that's a big deal, as we welcome Tito Luna. Good morning, Tito. If you don't think that's a big freaking deal, Chris Gallo, how you doing there, Chrissy? If you don't think that's a big freaking deal, then you're wrong, okay? Because I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why you're wrong. The Nationals, when Davey Lopes was there, working with former manager Dusty Baker, they were very aggressive. And this is important. You know, the Nationals stole the third most bases in the National League last year. Thanks to, you know, Trey Turner. Okay, he'll run, no question about it. But now they got a new manager. The question is, will the philosophy of running, the Nationals, what, they stole 229 bases, I think? Okay. How much of the run game will Davey Martinez go for? This is one of the things that we don't talk about. When you're looking at players Yeah, we all look at the sabermetrics and the stuff. Do we look at the manager, especially when there's a managerial change? You got Adam Eaton, you got Michael Taylor, you got guys who can steal. But when there's a managerial change and the coaches leave town, are you concerned at all about the philosophy of, let's say, stealing bases? Even if they were successful last year, we all know the trend in Major League Baseball is nobody's running, okay? Nobody is running. We're not running anymore. So Washington did very well. Does anybody think that it's going to affect Washington? It's not going to affect Trey Turner. Not going to. What are you guys talking about in the chat room? All right. Yeah, Torres is pretty filthy at shortstop, and he likes to play shortstop because at the shortstop position, the field is in front. You know, all the play is in front of you, and he needs that. He just performs better. He plays back. He could see the play develop a lot better from shortstop than you can at second base. So, all right, everybody's talking about Torres. Roy is here. Good morning to Roy. Nice to have you aboard. Michael Magid has joined us. Good morning to Michael. Always nice to see you. Don't forget, question and answer coming up. So if you guys get any questions about whatever, okay, whatever you got, throw them at me. And is anybody concerned that the Washington, I mean, they got the running team with the Taylor and the Eaton and the Turner and all that stuff, but will Bryce Harper run? That's the big question on Bryce Harper's value. Okay, so that takes care of the notes and bolts for today. Remember, Ohtani is going to get a partner. It's going to be Hugh Darvish. That's right. Ryan McMahon is my rookie candidate to be the rookie star. Anybody, good morning, Trader Jim's got to leave us for work. We're all going to meet at the Trader Jim restaurant, upstate New York, all right? I'm telling you, we're going to do it. We're going to order pancakes. All right, so thanks for joining us, Jimmy. Yeah, Bryce Harper, as B-Don says, only has one season where he ran, okay? Now, any questions, throw them out there in the chat room, and let's see if we can handle them. By the way, although the questions are going to be in the chat room, feel free to join in. There's no extra charge. If you want to join in, you don't want to join in, that's fine. Paulie Martin's going to be here tomorrow, and I'm going to expose him for what he is tomorrow when I find out that, you know, he's plagiarizing everybody. Yeah, I'm just kidding, Paul. Love you to death, man. But that's the point. Paul will be here tomorrow for the podcast, so don't forget, come on in and harass him, same way Paul Martin harasses me. It's okay. It really is. It's okay. Any questions in the chat room, okay? In the chat room, anybody? If there's not, then we'll call it a day. I got to go to work, too. The only thing is that before I go to work, I got to find a job. Okay, any questions in the chat room before we say goodbye? And I want to thank you all for being here. All right, good. No questions. No questions. Could you imagine? Imagine a podcast with no questions. Everybody has all the answers. Thanks to B-Don and the Beach Bomb and the Greg and the Chris Gallo, Dirty Eck, please call me whenever you can. DK Loosh, Donkey Teeth, Easy Kill, Hernan is here. Jedi, still sleeping, but he's here. Jeremy Gibbs, Joe from Staten Island, if you can call me as well, J.R. Slice, the Jr. Kevin Daly, the box score man. Mythical is here. Michael Hitch in the kitchen table. See you tomorrow, Paul. Raw is here. Rotorius, Scotty Bryden, Teddy Bilski. The great Timothy the Hooker. Unholy Toledo, Walter. And, of course, you can't do a podcast without Tim McCloud. All right, if there are no further questions, Your Honor. All right, now who is I'm going to give you one last trivia question, so pay attention. Who is this? I'm going to do a voice. Tell me who it is, okay? All right, are you ready? Tell me who it is. Now, Your Honor, for the last 25 minutes, I've watched the prosecuting attorney make a complete ass of himself. Now it's my turn. Who was that? That's an audio, okay? That was an audio trivia question. Anybody want to guess who that was? I think the imitation was pretty good, all right? Who should we take after pick 500, Lenny? I would say very clearly that I got to think about this. Do you want a pitcher or do you want a hitter? That was not Judge Judy. All right, look, Unholy Toledo's going to get it, no question about it. There he is. He got it. Get smart. Okay, 99. Thank you very much to the Unholy Toledo. I think you should take Lou Brock. All right, stolen bases are rare. After 500, it's all about Lou Brock. Raymond Burr, that's what it is here in New York. It's ice crackling cold. So that we always think of Raymond Burr when we go outside here. All right, anybody else? That's it. You guys, you're not very helpful. All right, I'm going to have to get more material tomorrow because I don't want to answer it. You know, I wanted to answer questions. I figured it would kill time. But David's not here, so we can end the podcast. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you again tomorrow. And we got some big news. Don't forget, Saturday, I'm doing a show. So listen to this. Solo, Saturday, 8 to 10. I need your calls. Here's the phone number. 888, okay, 963-2682. You don't have to have Sirius. You can listen to it on the phone. When you call, you know, they'll keep you on hold. You listen to the show. And then I'll give you a shout-out, okay? That's right. You call with a question. We'll give you a big-time shout-out. First name, last name, and the whole thing, okay? All right, so there you go. Call Saturday, 888-963-2682. And if you call Sunday from 7 to 8, you could even speak to Andrea Adorable. 7 to 8, Sunday morning on Sirius 210 XM 87. Andrea will go wacko. She, you know, we had her under wraps last week, but this week she breaks out. And then Sunday after Andrea leaves, I spend time with the lovely Craig Mish. Thanks, everybody. We will see you again on Friday. Paul Martin will be here tomorrow.